This is Voice of Korea.
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 Begin the English language transmission from Pyongyang, the capital of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Listeners, welcome to Voice of Korea. Now here's what you can hear in this transmission. First news. Next, we bring the 22nd installment of the condensed biography of Kim Il-sung. And then an account of all the battlefield. After that, an interview. Sungun politics is an embodiment of the church idea, and it will be followed by an account, Heojun and Dongwei program, from our regular program, Time Honored History, Resplendent Culture. Lastly, an account, heinous crimes committed by the U.S. imperialists during the Korean War. And between the programs, we'll enjoy a few songs.
Now please appreciate the mail photos. 성역전으로 김종인
now here is the news. The great leader, Kim Jong-il, General Secretary of the Workers' Party of Korea, Chairman of the National Defense Commission of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, and Supreme Commander of the Korean People's Army, appreciated together with officers and men of the People's Army a performance given by the State Academic Moisev Folk Dance Company of Russia on its local performance tour in the DPRK on June the 25th during its inspection of the farm. Leader Kim Jong-il was greeted at the theater by head of the company Yelena Shcherbakova and General Director Lev Korobanov. He expressed thanks to the artists of the State Academic Moisev Folk Dance Company of Russia for their performances in local areas and conversed with the guests. When leader Kim Jong-il appeared in the auditorium, the audience enthusiastically welcomed him with a strong applause. The performance was appreciated together with him by Vice Marshal of the Korean People's Army Kim Hyun-chun, Member of the National Defense Commission of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea and Chief of the General Staff of the Korean People's Army, Kim In-nam, Secretary of the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea and General Officers of the Korean People's Army. The artists put on the stage the Russian dances, Samur and Partisans, the Korean dance, Triad dance, and other colorful programs. The performance was applauded by the audience. The great leader, Kim Jong-il, congratulated the artists on their successful performance.
The great leader, Kim Jong-il, received a gift from the delegation of the Service of Information Industry of the Russian Federation on a visit to the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Head of the delegation, Councillor Alexei Grigoryev, handed a gift to an official concerned, requesting him to convey to the leader, Kim Jong-il.
A recent issue of the Indian newspaper Indian and World Event carried a full text of the great leader Kim Jong-il's famous work on preserving the Chuseok character and national character of the revolution in construction. The newspaper prints a picture of leader Kim Jong-il.
A meeting was held recently in Basel, city of Switzerland, at the Damascus University of Syria, in a film show and food exhibition at the Croatia Private Shipping and Trading Company Limited of Singapore, in the occasion of the 42nd anniversary of the great leader Kim Jong-il's start of work at the Central Committee of the Workers' Party of Korea, the 6th anniversary of the publication of the June People's Inter-Korean Joint Declaration, and the month of the anti-US joint struggle from the June 25th to July 27th. Screened at a film show was the DPRK documentary Boundless Honor and Happiness of the Nation. Present at the event were personages of different cultures in those countries. At the event, the speakers noted that His Excellency Kim Jong-il has rendered immortal services to the strengthening and development of the Workers' Party of Korea with a keeping idea created by President Kim Il-sung as a guideline. They highlight both the ascendant politics of leader Kim Jong-il and stress that under the guidance of His Excellency Kim Jong-il, who is carrying forward the cause of great President Kim Il-sung, the Korean people will surely build a great, prosperous and powerful Western nation and accomplish the historic cause of national reunification with their strength. The meeting held in Switzerland ordered the message to leader Kim Jong-il.
A Pyongyang City mass meeting to condemn the U.S. imperialist aggressors was held at Kim Il-sung Square on Sunday on the occasion of June the 25th, the day of struggle against the U.S. imperialists. The U.S. imperialists provoked an aggressive war against the Yang DPRK on June the 25th, 1950, 56 years ago, which was the peaceful Sunday. Hundreds of thousands of people participated in the mass meeting. The participants included Premier of the DPRK Cabinet, Park Chung-jil, and other cadres of the party and the state, chairpersons of the family parties, officials of the party and government organs, public organizations, ministries and other national institutions, and working people, UFR students from Pyongyang. Also present there were overseas Koreans staying in the socialist homeland. At a meeting, the chairman of the Pyongyang City People's Committee made a speech which was followed by speeches of working people of different sections. The speaker said, the U.S. imperialists started an all-out armed invasion against the Democratic People's Republic of Korea in a bid to suffocate it in its cradle and realize their ambition for world supremacy and continue. The U.S. imperialists mobilized for the Korean War more than 2 million strong forces consisting of the aggressive army, troops of 15 satellite states and South Korean army, and over 73 million tons of war supplies, and perpetrated a most brutal, murderous, predatory, and destructive act unprecedented in the world history of wars. Grossly violating the international law, the U.S. imperialists used germ and chemical weapons at random, and even hatched the heinous plot to drop an atomic bomb upon the heads of the Korean people. But they could not subdue the Korean army and people, the speaker said and continued. Under the wise leadership of the great leader, Kim Il-sung, the Korean army and people gave an irretrievable defeat to the U.S. imperialist aggressors and won victory. Today, the danger of a war is being created in this country owing to the hostile policy of the United States towards the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Now is the time to totally sum up the anti-U.S. confrontation. If the U.S. imperialists trigger off another war, oblivious of the lesson of the past Korean War, we'll wipe out all the aggressors to the last man with our invincible war deterrent force and completely remove the source of war from this land, the speakers stressed. A poem of indignation will circle accounts was recited at the meeting. The meeting was followed by anti-U.S. demonstrations.
Officials for the preservation of revolutionary relics across the country finish a genocide tour of the revolutionary battle sites and historic sites in the area of Mount Taizu, which was studied on occasion of the semi-centenary of the great leader Kim Jong-un standing on the route for a study tour of the revolutionary battle sites in the area. They left Pyongyang on the 17th and arrived at Fort Chungbo. They laid a load of baskets and bouquets before the statue of the great leader Kim Il-sung by the garden stream and paid homage to him. Looking around the historic battle sites and the Fort Chungbo Revolution Museum, they learned about the gift of earthly plastic and prominent money art of President Kim Il-sung. They arrived at the Lake Tamzi via the Porcelain Spring site and the Tung Kung Tableland and respectfully laid bouquets before the statue of President Kim Il-sung by the Lake Tamzi. They also looked around the Tsinghua Dome and other revolutionary battle sites and historic sites between the 18th and 19th. They visited the secret camp of Mount Taizu on the 20th. They had a meeting to express their resolve before the native home of leader Kim Jong-il in the secret camp of Mount Taizu. And they arrived at the Sanjian Township on the 22nd. Meanwhile, they looked around the Tsinghua Revolutionary Historic Site and the Pukum Revolutionary Historic Site between the 23rd and 25th.
A Korea-Russia joint exhibition of information technology opened at the People's Palace of Culture in Pyongyang on the 25th. Present at the opening ceremony were officials concerned and working people in Pyongyang. Also present there were a delegation of the Service of Information Industry of the Russian Federation, headed by Councillor Alexei Grigoriev, Alexandra Machegura, Chartered Affairs at the Interim of the Russian Federation in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, staff members of the Russian Embassy, foreign diplomatic representatives and embassy staff members, and members of the missions of the international organizations in the DPRK. Kim Chul-ho, Vice Director of the General Software Industry Bureau of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea, declared the exhibition open. He said, the exhibition held for the first time in the field of information technology between the DPRK and the Russian Federation will serve as a significant occasion in recording a new chapter in the development of the friendly relations between the DPRK and the Russian Federation, growing stronger with each passing day under the deep care of the leaders of the two countries. Then, head of the delegation, Alexei Grigoriev, made a speech. He expressed a belief that cooperation and exchanges in the field of information technology between the two countries would be developed on a higher level in the future. Then the participants looked around at exhibits showing the successes made by the two countries in the field of information technology. The exhibition will continue till the 28th.
59 lawyers under the South Korean Institute of Democratic Law made public a joint declaration on the 22nd, exposing the illegality of the expropriation of land in Pyeongtaek by the government. The declaration said, on May the 4th, the government purged military schools and police in the area of Daejeo-ri and Seo-ri of Paengseong Township, Pyeongtaek City, Gyeonggi Province, the destined site for the expansion of the U.S. military base, expropriated land, and committed indiscriminate outrages against the inhabitants in their struggle. Not content with it, the government installed even barbed wire entanglements in the area and threatened the inhabitants, saying it would bring them to the military trial on strength of the military law. Nothing can justify it, the declaration said, and urged the government to immediately withdraw the military force and police from the area of Daejeo-ri and Seo-ri and return the expropriated land to the inhabitants.
125 victims as counted women for the old Japanese army and organizations concerned in South Korea at a press conference in front of the building of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Trade on the 22nd to urge the South Korean government to pursue a positive foreign policy towards Japan for the settlement of the issue on the camped women for the old Japanese army. At a press conference, the speaker said, while the victims of camped women for the old Japanese army are fighting in demand of Japan's apology and compensation, the South Korean government has left it to itself. The victims are living in pains even today, over 60 years after the country was liberated. The document related to the South Korea-Japan agreement signed in 1965 did not include the issue on camped women for the old Japanese army, the speaker said, and stressed that inevitably the government should start a new negotiation for the settlement of the issue. Then a statement was made public at the press conference. The statement contended that though belatedly, the government should properly exercise the right to diplomatic protection for its people. After the press conference, a petition was presented to the Human Rights Committee in the name of two organizations and more than 100 victims as camped women for the old Japanese army.
A function to commemorate the 30th anniversary of the Cuban Committee for Supporting Korea's Reunification was held at the Cuban Association for Friendship Among All Peoples on June the 16th. Present at the function were senior officials of the Central Committee of the Communist Party of Cuba and the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and other personages and members of different sections of that country. Also present there were the DPRK Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiary and MSS staff members and a delegation of the Korea-Cuba Solidarity Committee on a visit to Cuba. Speeches were made at a function. The chairman of the Cuban Association for Friendship Among All Peoples expressed that the great leader Kim Il-sung extended active support and invaluable encouragement to the victory of the Cuban Revolution. He dwelt on the energetic movement for solidarity with the Korean people, which the Cuban Committee for Supporting Korea's Reunification has conducted for the reunification of Korea since its foundation and continues. Pursuing their strategic purpose for Asia, the U.S. and Syria are keeping their huge forces in South Korea, continuing to threaten the Democratic People's Republic of Korea with nuclear weapons and strengthening economic blockade under unreasonable pressures to isolate and suffocate Korea. The new moves, however, can the U.S. imperialists bring the great Korean people to their knees. We will make all efforts for solidarity with Korea. And this is the end of the news read by Song Seul and Kim Hee-un. This is Voice of Korea.
The daily Rotten Sinew of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea on the 26th carried a commentary on the title, Multinational World Rehearsal to Invade the North. The commentary reads in summary. The US-led Vintec 2006 joint military exercise is underway on the Pacific from June the 25th. The exercise, staged by the United States, involving armed forces of different countries and regions, is undoubtedly a multinational war exercise to invade North Korea and a great military provocation against it. The military exercise will last over 1 month with mobilization of a total of over 20,000 strong forces and more than 50 warships, including the U.S. Third Fleet, 100 and scores of planes and other latest war means. The U.S. Imperial set the date of start of the military exercise on June the 25th, when they had triggered off the Korean War in the last century. The United States is the principal criminal that is disturbing peace and stability and creating danger of a new war in and around the Korean Peninsula. The South Korean authorities take part in the current Olympic exercise again, siding with the U.S. war movers against the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The South Korean authorities must know clearly that it is as silly as a fool hunting for misfortune to dance to the tune of the North targeted war movers of foreign forces and immediately stop such war racket. The South Korean people from all walks of life should see through the danger of the reckless war movers of the outside forces and war maniacs, and wage the anti-US and anti-war struggle more powerfully to foil the movers. That was the gist of commentary on the title, Multinational War Rehearsal to Invade North, carried in the Daily Rotten Simon on the 26th. This is Voice of Korea.
Dear listeners, now is the time for the condensed biography of Kim Il-sung. Today we present the 22nd installment. The practice on this was in the form of a semi-guerrilla zone composed of a network of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army's secret camps established in the deep forest around Mount Paektu, and of a network of underground revolutionary organizations that had struck roots deep into the population of the surrounding area. And impregnable revolutionary forces invisible to the enemy. After the establishment of the Paektusan base, Kim Il-sung sent out small units and political operatives of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army to the homeland to set up various forms of secret bases, serving as secret camps or rendezvous points in the forest, favorable for military and political activity, and expanded. The secret bases established in the homeland served as regional leadership centers, coordinating in an appropriate way the armed struggle and the work of building party organizations, the Association for the Restoration of the Fatherland Movement, and the anti-Japanese mass struggle, as well as the preparations for an all-people resistance. The bases, in other words, coordinated all the activities being carried out within their respective regions, under the unified leadership of the revolutionary headquarters situated in the Paektusan secret camp. They also played a role as the operational basis of activity, and supply basis of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army unit. Kim Il-sung organized and led the work to expand the party and the Association for the Restoration of the Fatherland organizations on a nationwide scale, and to ensure monolithic leadership for the anti-Japanese armed struggle and the revolutionary movement in the homeland. The strategic task to be tackled in effecting an upsurge in the Korean Revolution by relying on the Paektusan base was to establish in the homeland a reliable operational secret base that could serve as a center of unity leadership to both the armed struggle and political struggle on the one hand, and at the same time extend the network of the party and Association for the Restoration of the Fatherland organizations in the homeland, so that powerful political and military forces were built up and the monolithic leadership of Kim Il-sung issued over the anti-Japanese armed struggle and the revolutionary movement in the homeland. In order to build up strong political forces in the homeland, Kim Il-sung ensured that party organizations were expanded nationwide and a unified system of organizational leadership with them established. In keeping with the formation of a new 9th Division of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army, or KPRA, and its reinforcement, He readjusted and improved the party organizations within the KPRA unit, built up the party committee of the KPRA, and established a regular system of organizational leadership for the party organizations at all levels. In March 1936, he formed the Party Working Committee in Eastern Manchuria, a regional party leadership organ, for the purpose of controlling and guiding the building of party organizations and promoting the activities of the existing party organizations in a unified manner, even at the time when the main force of the KPRA was preparing to advance into the border areas along the Amno River. With a view to giving unified guidance, the building of party organizations and the preparations for party founding in the homeland, he put forward the policy of establishing the Homeland Party Working Committee, or HPWC, at the Tongan meeting held in May 1936. He sent a letter to the communists in the homeland in December the same year and summoned the pastor, who had been active in the homeland, to the secret camp to assign him to the task of building party organizations in the homeland and explain to him the ways for its implementation. He called a meeting of the Party Committee of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army at the end of December 1936, at which he pointed out the need for and the significance of forming a leadership organ, that is, the Homeland Party Working Committee, capable of taking control of and guiding the building of party organizations in the homeland in a unified way, its mission and duty, as well as the regulations and principles of its activities. The meeting accordingly organized the HPWC. The HPWC was a regional party leadership body entrusted with the responsibility for unified leadership of the revolutionary struggle and the building of party organizations in the homeland under the leadership of the Party Committee of the Korean People's Revolutionary Army. Considering Chowrae to be a strategic military stronghold, taking into consideration the need to fix the center of revolutionary activity at the Pakistan secret camp, and turn Wasujendo into another springboard for giving a stronger push to the development of the revolution in the homeland and Manchuria, and strengthen relations with the party organizations in the homeland, Kim Il-sung organized the party committee in Changbai County and its subordinate district party committees and party groups at the Hunshan secret camp in February 1937. This committee was headed by Song Yong-byuk. The party committee in Changbai County, being a backbone party organization that was the first to gain access to and implement the policies and tasks set by Kim Il-sung, played an important role in realizing his leadership over the party organizations in Manchuria and the homeland. In an effort to improve the functions and role of the HPWC and step up guidance for the building of party organizations and the revolutionary movement in the homeland, Kim Il-sung convened a second session of the HPWC at the secret camp on Mount Kum in late May 1937. At the meeting, he delivered an important speech titled On Expanding and Strengthening the Party Organizations in the Homeland, in which he emphatically referred to the need to admit into party and various revolutionary organizations the active communists have faced in the homeland and establish a proper party organizational leadership system in line with the requirements of the then situation when the party organizations were expanding. In the summer and autumn of 1937, Kim Il-sung dispatched to the northern areas of Korea the Northern Korea Political Operative Team with a mission of helping the work of the HPWC. In this period, Kim Il-sung, a communist revolutionary, carried out her underground political activities in and around the Taoqingli and Sinta areas. She visited various areas such as Seosan, Rangin, Ujeon, Sinhu, Pukchong, Jiwon, Tansan, and Hoseon, working energetically to expedite the building of party organizations and at the same time form revolutionary organizations in various parts, rallying the communists and the broad anti-Japanese message only around the Kim Il-sung. as an order measure for the building of party organizations in the homeland, in late May 1937, Kim Il-sung organized the Homeland Party Group, headed by Park Dal, and composed of communists trained and tested in the crucible of sexual struggle. The Homeland Party Group played a role both as a base party organization and as a parent body in the building of party organizations in the homeland. He turned the areas of Kapsan and Samso into training centers for the building of party organizations in the homeland and fostered excellent organizational workers there. The hardcore workers produced by these training centers were dispatched to other counties and provinces to lay the foundations for the building of party organizations. As a result of the energetic activities of the political workers dispatched by Kim Il-sung and of the HPWC, party organizations were expanded quickly in the wide areas of the homeland. You've been listening to the 22nd installment of the condensed biography of Kim Il-sung. This is Voice of Korea.
In an old battlefield. One day in February 1985 or 1996, the great leader Kim Jong-il set out on his tour of inspection of the unit in the eastern sector of the Far Front. That day, despite biting cold, leader Kim Jong-il climbed up height 351 in the eastern sector of the front. Commanding officers of the unit tried to stop him, saying it was dangerous to go up the height, which is only 1,200 meters from the enemy, who was taking aim with recoilless guns all the time. But he told them not to worry and went up to the old battlefield ahead of others. During the past Fatherland Liberation War, there had been a fierce battle with enemy on height 351 because of its strategic importance. Flying the skirts of his coat in the biting wind, he climbed up the height and watched the layout of the front through periscopes. He didn't turn his eyes away from mountain ridges for a long time, as if recollecting the feats of heroic soldiers associated with them. He learned in detail about DPRK heroes produced by the unit and said, "The feats of the heroic soldiers who devoted their youth and lives to the country and people would shine forever." He added that the post on the forefront is the theater of acute confrontation of strength with the enemy, and at the same time, a theater of ideological confrontation, and explained the problems arising in firmly preparing the soldiers of the People's Army politically and ideologically and in military technique. Visiting the old battlefield, he showed his love and trust to soldiers so that they could glorify forever the great feats of heroes culminated in the height. The commanding officers were greatly moved. Quite a long time passed. Officials accompanying him were worried to see him stay at the dangerous post on the front too long. That is said, he was happiest among soldiers and always getting strength and courage from them. Then he continued his tour of inspection of other units of the People's Army. During his Sinan-based revolutionary leadership, the great leader Kim Jong-il has always found himself among the soldiers of the People's Army and guided them to carry forward the revolutionary feats and feats of the heroic soldiers who shed blood during the Fatherland Liberation War. That was an account in an old battlefield. This is Voice of Korea.
Now please enjoy your meal, Solo.
Our best wishes.
You are so much concerned day and night all time. Concerned for the people's good life and well-being.
Oh,
our leader Jing Zong is dear to our hearts. The people truly wish you to enjoy your pleasant life.
Mm-hmm.
Now present an interview under the title, London Politics is an embodiment of the Tutsi idea.
Hello.
Hello.
Today I would like to talk with you about the London politics of the Workers' Party of Korea, which is an embodiment of the Tutsi idea.
With pleasure.
The Korean Revolution has advanced with the motto Tutsi idea as its guideline. In its practical struggle, the London politics was created. So, it fully embodies the demands of the Tutsi idea.
Right. The Tutsi idea takes it as a fundamental purpose of revolution to realize independence of the popular masses. First of all, the Tutsi idea calls for maintaining the independent stand and the creative stand in the revolutionary construction. The independent stand is a stand for the popular masses to defend their position as masters of the revolutionary construction. The creative stand is a stand for the popular masses to play the role of master. The Sundan politics is a practice to firmly maintain the independent and creative stand, and thus defend the position of the popular masses as masters of the revolutionary construction, and thoroughly guarantee their realization with arms.
I think so. Thanks to the Sundan politics, the Korean people could firmly defend the socialism and national dignity at the fatal crossroads of whether they would become the independent people or the slaves of imperialism. The Sungun politics thoroughly embodies the demand of the Juche idea on putting the main stress on ideology. The Juche idea expounds the conception that the people's ideology is fundamental in the revolutionary struggle and construction work, and that everything is decided by the people's ideology. The Sungun politics attaches importance to the revolutionary soldier spirit, another revolutionary state of the army taking arms. The Sungun politics is the politics based on the principle and ideology. It is the politics to arm all members of the society with the revolutionary soldier spirit and defend and develop socialism with its might.
The Sungun politics also embodies the demand of the Tutsi idea on realizing global independence. It is the important demand of the Tutsi idea advocating independence to oppose domination, subjugation, and inequality between countries and nations, and realize global independence. The defense power consolidated by the Sungun Party is to defend the sovereignty of our country and nation, and furthermore to achieve global peace and security. Thanks to the Sungun Party, peace is now ensured on the Korean Peninsula, and the cause of global independence guaranteed. That is why the world powers personally speak highly of the Sungun Party, saying, "We believe that the Sungun Party will successfully promote the trend of global independence. Supporting and defending the Sungun Party is a way to oppose domination and subjugation of imperialism and defend the interests of small countries and progress of humanity."
Quite right. Well, so much for today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have been listening to an interview under the title, Sungun politics is an embodiment of the Tutsi idea.
This is Voice of Korea. We now present a female solo and female Tangsang, When the General is Well.
Thank you.
Ohne die History resplendent culture. Today we introduce Hawthorne and Tony Pugam. As a renowned scholar of medicine, who rendered great services to the development of the traditional Korean medicine of Korea. He began to write the medical book Dongi Bogam, meaning as the source of medical science, in 1596, and completed it on December 16, 1610. In his 20s, Hawthorne was renowned as a magic doctor. He wrote many medical books to be used in the treatment of diseases. His medical books are characterized by plain writing which helps to cure various diseases. Most typical of them is Dongi Bogam. Hawthorne began to write the book with the intent to further consolidate and develop the medical traditions of the Korean nation. He had to live in exile due to plots of the feudal ruling orders. Even under the difficult conditions, Hawthorne did not stop writing, deeply feeling the pride in the peculiar medical traditions of the Korean nation. Dongi Bogam consists of 25 volumes in 5 parts. Writing the book, Hawthorne put forward the idea that building up one's body and soul is more important than maintaining one's health than curing one's disease with medicine, acupuncture, and moxibustion. Dongi Bogam comprehended the traditional medical successes of Korea. It was as good as a medical encyclopedia for its high scientific and theoretical level and utility. That's why the book caused a great sensation as soon as it came into being. It was widely known to foreign countries too. Today too, Dongi Bogam, written by Hawthorne, is highly estimated as a book of great value in medical focus and cultural history for its well-organized system and rich content. So far, we've introduced Hawthorne and Dongi Bogam under the regular program, Time-Honored History, Resplendent Culture. This is Voice of Korea. Voice of Korea presents an account of heinous crimes committed by the U.S. imperialists during the Korean War. In June 1950, the U.S. imperialists provoked an aggressive war in Korea and killed many peaceful inhabitants in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. The Hague Convention, Geneva Convention, and other norms of war banned bombing and bombardment upon non-combatants and unmilitary objects such as towns, rural villages, houses, and buildings. Nevertheless, the U.S. imperialist aggressors indiscriminately bombed and bombarded all towns and rural villages in the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. In the hurried period of the war, the U.S. imperialists dropped hundreds of thousands of bombs on Pyongyang city alone over 1,000 times, destroying factories and enterprises, educational, cultural, and public health institutions, and dwelling houses, and ruthlessly killing many inhabitants. During the temporary strategic retreat of the Korean People's Army, the U.S. imperialists committed the most brutal and vicious crimes beyond human imagination in the occupied areas. After freeing Kingston in October 1950, the commander of the U.S. troops declared, "My orders are legal, and he who ever violates them shall be shot unconditionally." And an aid charges on to barbarous massacres. For more than 50 days of occupation of Kingston, the U.S. imperialists killed over 35,000 inhabitants, including over 10,000 children, old people, and women. During the Korean War, the U.S. imperialists unhesitatingly dropped poison gas and bomb bombs and poorly killed inhabitants. They dropped poison gas bombs on Nampo City in early May 1951 and tear gas and asphyxiant gas bombs in the area of Wonsan and in many areas of Gwangju Province in July and early September, killing and wounding many people. Between January and March 1952, they dropped large quantities of gems of all kinds in over 100 areas on hundreds of occasions in a bid to exterminate the Korean nation. Indeed, the massacres committed by the U.S. imperialists during the past Korean War were inhuman crimes which grossly violated the recognized international law and regulations on war. Today, too, the U.S. imperialists are persisting in fighting new war moves in South Korea with intent to assassinate the Democratic People's Republic of Korea with strength, bringing the situation of the Korean Peninsula to the brink of war. But they should not miscalculate. The Korean people and officers and men of the People's Army are sharply watching the new war movements of the U.S. imperialists with high vigilance. You've been listening to the current heinous crimes committed by the U.S. imperialists during the Korean War. This is Voice of Korea.
Dear listeners, with this, we conclude the English language service of Voice of Korea from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea. Voice of Korea from the Democratic People's Republic of Korea presents its English language service at the following hours and frequencies to Europe between 15 and 16 hours UTC, between 18 and 19 hours UTC, between 21 and 22 hours UTC, and between 13 and 14 hours UTC on 13,760 kHz and 15,245 kHz. To North America between 15 and 16 hours UTC and between 13 and 14 hours UTC on 9,335 kHz and 11,710 kHz. To Northeast Asia between 1 and 2 hours UTC and between 3 and 4 hours UTC on 7,140 kHz, 9,345 kHz and 9,730 kHz. Goodbye, dear listeners. This is Voice of Korea, Pyongyang.
voix de la Corée.
La voix de la Corée.
La voix de la Corée.
La voix de la Corée.